You're listening to the Sabina Road Baptist Sermon Series. We hope this message greatly impacts your life. For more information on the mission and ministries of Sabina Road Baptist Church in Tucson, Arizona, visit us online at sabinaroad.org.
All right, you guys ready to go? I am so excited about today. The last couple of weeks in talking to some church members, church people, a couple of things became very apparent. And they've asked for a couple of things. And one is, can you take us back through the basics of our Christian faith? The basics. If you've got your sheet with you there that you got up the front, I say walk 101, and just kind of the basics of following Jesus in discipleship, kind of mirroring what the vision team is doing right now. And we are meeting again today, guys, vision team today at 12:30. And they split up into three groups. And one is the in group, which is like discipleship or how we walk. One is the up group, which is worship and how we relate in worship to God. And then the other is evangelism, or our witness group, the out group, how we lead others to Jesus. I thought I would take the next few weeks and kind of teach at you a little bit. Kind of less preaching, although you know I'm not a big preacher, but more of a teacher. I thought I'd teach you just some of the basics of our faith, and especially, we're getting in a lot of conversations. Some of you are getting into a lot of conversations and have asked questions about what do I say here, or what exactly do we believe, or how do we explain this? And so I thought I would do this. And I've come up with several questions. We're only going to do a couple of them today. But several questions of why we believe the way we believe, or what do we do in this circumstance, and so forth. Y'all with me? Now this is going to be a teaching time. So I'm really going to need you guys to interact with me. And I'm going to have a mic out there somewhere floating around in a few minutes. I'm going to lecture for a little bit, then I'm going to ask you questions. Okay? So it's not going to be like a normal preaching Sunday, but more of a teaching time. How does that sound? I think I'm going to do a week or two on the walk, which is our discipleship. It's how we live out our faith. Then I think I'll do a week or two maybe on the witness, how we're supposed to witness, and what does that mean? How do we witness to others? And then I think we'll do a week or two on the worship. You guys ready to go? Let's start with the easiest question, and that's why we're here. So far, everything had God in it, fellowship. You guys are remembering God. That's good. We start our seminary class out, and we ask that question, what's your purpose? And we hear all those. Anyone else? Say what? Bring honor and glory to God. Equip the saints, man. Every single one of those is correct. And every single one of those is secondary. And hang on, it's correct and it's out front. But we are really here. Our purpose in life, the reason God created us, is to walk with Him, to have a relationship with Him. When I practice that relationship, did you hear what I just said? When I practice that relationship, it's up to me to accept God, walk with Him, put time in my schedule. When I accept Him and walk with Him, then everything that you guys just said comes out of that walk. Y'all with me? Now, I can start with everything that we had talked about, glorify God, equip the saints. I can start with those things, but I'm starting with my hands. And I ask the question in my head, what do I need to do here? And I can try to glorify God with my actions. or I can try to be a swell guy or try to do the right things with my hands. But the walk with God is the heart, and that starts it all. Does that make sense?
Yes.
With my wife, boy, I love my wife. I don't look at my relationship with my wife as far as, what do I need to do to make her happy? I just want to be with her. And by the way, she would tell you that what makes her happy is me to be with her. I mean, that's just kind of a gift I have. I make people happy wherever I go. Some of you aren't laughing because... Does this make sense? God, it's kind of funny to think about. God was lonely. God wanted to create man to walk with him. God wanted our relationship. Is that crazy? So he created Adam. He said, I'm going to set you up. But the one thing that he wanted to do was to walk with Adam. Not a forced walk, not a slave. You got to do this. You know, we can have company of people that are forced to have company with us. But God wanted that free will. He wanted us to love God because he loved us. If you have your paper there, I put down there Genesis 3, 8, and 9. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Every day, God walked in the Garden of Eden. And who did he walk with? Adam and Eve. I think that must have been the highlight of their day. God created Adam and Eve to walk with him. He wanted to talk with them. He wanted to spend time with them. By the way, this verse comes after a terrible thing. You guys know what it is? Sin. Yeah. So all of a sudden, something changed. And one day we're walking with God. It is great, hand in hand. I am living out my purpose in life. Adam was just supposed to take care of the garden. His main job, though, was to walk with God. Y'all with me? Then all of a sudden, I let sin into my life, and it created a barrier. Created a barrier. God is a holy God, and yet we're sinful man. So all of a sudden, instead of God walking in the garden saying, Adam, where are you? I'm hiding. I don't want God to see me. Something's come between me and God, and it's sin. The perfect relationship in the whole world was God creating Adam to walk with him. Do y'all agree with that? Yeah. It was perfect. Adam and Eve. Now, why did God create you? Yeah. Hasn't changed at all. You were born to walk with God. Now, there's two people here. You're walking with God or you're not. You're a follower of Jesus or you're not. It doesn't change, though, what you are created to be. You're created to be a God walker. I just made that up. That's pretty good, though. I like that. I'm supposed to walk with God. That is why Christians, when we do the wrong thing, when sin gets in our life, there's a barrier there. And by the way, the Holy Spirit inside of our heart does flips and it freaks us out. Where does it freak us out? In our heart. If we want to get back right with God, what do we need to concentrate on? Our heart. Now the enemy is sitting there on our shoulder saying, do more stuff with your hands. Make sure that people think that you're a Christian. Do what a Christian would do. But God is always after the heart. Y'all with me? So far, so good?
Yeah.
What questions do we have on this? Any questions on this? Now, as a result of me walking with God, he will every day give me what I'm supposed to do that day. Y'all with me? If I don't walk with God, if I don't spend time with him, if I don't love on him, I'm not going to know what he wants me to do that day. I'll wing it. I'll trust what I did yesterday or 10 years ago or 30 years ago. But I won't know exactly what he wants me to do that day. Now, there's more to this story. If I'm walking with God, it's not just early in the morning and then the rest of my life is outside of God. Walking with God is a daily, constant, consistent walk. So I put God in everything that I do every day. How does that help us, by the way, as Christians? Sometimes when we have great days, what do we say? Thank you, Lord, it's awesome. Sometimes when we have bad days, what do we say? God, how could you do this to me? And that's wrong. It is God, you're with me, aren't you? You're walking right beside me. We're hand in hand. I'm trusting you even in the bad times. That is the one thing that believers have that non-believers don't. We have the blessed assurance that Jesus is ours. Amen. That we are created for that walk, for that relationship. I don't know how unbelievers get through some of their days. It would rattle my chain. And yet every time God is saying, I'm right with you. I know exactly what you're going through. So it's that walk. All right. So far, so good. Best class I've taught all day. Even you on the front row are doing a good job. You guys have an apple for teacher. You're supposed to bring a gift for the teacher, you know. Okay. First thing, what are we supposed to do? Walk with God. Walk with God. What are we not supposed to do? Not walk with God. If you have issues, questions, problems in life, walk with God. Tim, I appreciate when you said something about repentance. Can I break it down what repentance is? No matter what you need to repent about, no matter what you need to confess, no matter whatever it is, it will get back to, I'm not walking with God. It will. If there's sin in my life, I need to repent because it breaks this walk with God. If I need to confess something, it breaks the walk with God. If I have an issue with a brother, it breaks the walk with God. Do you all get this? So when you have something that the Spirit is just doing somersaults and you are guilty and you can't live another day like this, God is calling you back to your heart. I love you. I created you to walk with you. And you've done something that has caused us an issue. Amen? Any questions, any thoughts, any comments?
Of course I have one. Okay, so my question is, when I repent, am I repenting in comparison to others? Or am I repenting out of my relationship to Christ alone?
Ooh, beautiful. I think I've got your question. Are you repenting in relation to others? Like how?
So a lot of times I think, and I'm putting this into our church body context, and if I didn't care, I would keep my mouth shut. But the truth is, I love you guys. We could be anywhere, but we want to be here. Well, not anywhere. We want to be here because this is where God has called us to be. And we love being here. But if I think for a moment that whenever there's a time when I have an opportunity to come before the Lord in confession that's offered by my pastor, and I choose not to do that, I am a fool. Because when I go to confession publicly as a way to unite us, it's not because I'm comparing myself to you guys. It's because when I look at my relationship compared to who God is, when I look at my relationship with Him compared to who He is, compared to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I cannot not confess. I cannot not ask for redemption. And that, I think, might be a closer look at that heart. I know the practice. I know the rules of church. But that's not why I'm here. I am not here to play church. I'm here because this is my family. I'm here because I need encouragement. I'm here because I need accountability, which others confuse for judgment. But we need accountability. We need to remember our holy God that we serve. We're not here to compare ourselves with one another.
And that's a unique word that you use, the comparison word. We are to compare ourselves to God. Now, here's the thing that happens when we compare ourselves to Jesus. We're humbled, and we say, wow, we're not anywhere close. And in fact, there's no way to mirror the life of Christ on our own. We helplessly fall down and say, Lord, help me. Now, the other side of it is, when I compare myself to others, I look pretty bad compared to some, but boy, I sure look pretty good compared to others. I'm not looking at anyone right now. I'm looking up here. And Satan plays that game with us all the time. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. Oh, these people are awesome because they do this and that. What's the word I'm talking about? Do. They do. And Jesus said, those Pharisees that you guys all think are the greatest guys in the world, inside they're sinful, wicked people. If you play the comparison game, it must be centered on Christ. How am I, based on what He has said I need to be, inside, versus what am I doing? If you play the comparison game with each other, might as well just go ahead and rank the top 100 people in here. Based on what? What you do. How much you give. How many hours you put into the church and so forth. Y'all with me? Are you with me that we can all fake that? Sure can. Sure can. We can show up at 10 o'clock, put on the face. Hey! And we live like the devil the rest of the week. Me included. Me first and foremost. All of us. Oh, we need to compare ourselves to Jesus. Amen? Any other thoughts or comments? When you get off track, it is your walk. God is not responsible for your walk. You are. You are responsible for your walk. He says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. You open the door. You bring God into your life. Don't you play this victim role. Oh, if you knew what I was going through. No, God does. I don't know what you're going through, but God does. He has you where He wants you. Are you walking with Him? By the way, personal confession time. This is so difficult for a pastor to go through. Me, I'm your interim pastor. I'm not spending 40 or 50 hours a week here, but your new pastor will. And he will have the same thing I have. And that is, whenever we have these hard conversations with people and they say, how come this isn't working? Or why isn't it cheerful and wonderful? And how come my life isn't like unicorns and rainbows? That pastor has the option of saying, how's your walk with God? And then we all get offended. Who does he think he is? Or to turn the other way and say, well, I'll be praying for you. God bless you. We are all called upon to help each other out with this walk with God. Here's what I mean. Next time you have your best friend say, I don't know what the world's going on, say, how's your walk with God? How's your walk with God? Well, it stinks. Let's start there. Y'all understand your main job as fellow believers, again, with the church, your main job as believers outside of this walk with God is pointing that walk to each other. So when someone comes and says, I'm struggling, I don't know what in the world to do, please don't take them aside and say, well, just let me love up on you and say, how's your walk with God? Point them back to the cross. Point them back to Jesus. You're not going to be there all the time, but Jesus is. Like a brother that never leaves. Y'all with me? Now, we're going to talk more about this in a second, but this relationship with God mirrors this relationship that we have with each other. Okay? My walk with God should mirror my walk with others. If I'm angry, bitter, upset, frustrated with each other, I probably got that same problem with God. If I can't forgive one another, I probably have that same issue with God. The way He loves me, I got to love others. The way He forgives me, I got to forgive others. The way He is with me, I want to do that with others. Y'all with me? Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? You were talking about repentance. And I think very often, as a teaching point, we confuse repentance with remorse. Remorse is the feeling bad about something you did or said. And that's the Holy Spirit that's convicting you from within if you're a believer. But repentance requires behavior. You have to turn and go the other way.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about how's your walk with God, the way I'd love to hear it, or was challenging for me with men, was, are you walking with the Lord or are you dancing with the devil?
Ooh.
It's one or the other. You can't sit on the fence.
That's right.
But I do think repentance is a very key point.
Of course.
Because it brings about reconciliation, and God is a God of second chances.
Of course. And again, the Holy Spirit, He's doing flips inside you, okay? When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you brought God to live inside you. You cannot continue to do the things you used to do without belly flopping. I don't know if that's right or not. I don't know if that's in Scripture or not. But you guys understand that. You're just eating up. The one way through that, the only way through that, is repentance. Repentance starts where? In the heart that leads to your actions. Remorse sometimes can be, I'm so sorry this happened. What can I do that'll let you guys know that I'm back on track? Instead of, Lord, this has broken this relationship. When the Spirit comes and convicts you of a sin, He is not convicting you of the actions. He's convicting you of the actions because it hurts the heart. Y'all get this? The heart's affected. Not just, well, let me stop what I'm doing. No, you got to stop what you're doing because this relationship is hurt. And let's get that back. Y'all with me on this? Here's what I want you to understand. You walk with God. You do. You decide. You decide to put God in your life. You decide to walk with Him. You don't start off by saying, man, I wish I could live in victory like other people do. Or I wish I could do whatever. That all starts with a walk with God. I wish I could bring more glory to... That starts with the walk. I wish I could get through this sin issue. That starts with the walk. Everything starts with the walk. If the walk's not there, we're just playing around. I think I've told you many times, whenever I have to deal with a student that's having issues or problems, or if there's a conflict or a fight or whatever, usually pretty quickly you ask that question, how's your walk going? What are you learning? And don't talk about something you learned 50 years ago. Please talk about something you learned yesterday or last week. Does this make sense? I just gave you, I just gave you some gold right there. If you're having issues, get back to your walk. And please, tattoo on your brain, God wants you to walk with Him. You are to walk with Him. That is your purpose. I remember in an old church I pastored years ago, Second Baptist, Ranger, Texas. If anyone's listening today from Ranger. And I freaked them out. I had a guy at the back, and I took an offering plate. This is when I was young and had a full head of hair and was kind of foolish. I said, this offering plate was designed to do what? Collect money and serve its purpose. And I said, it makes a bad frisbee. And I threw it, and the guy caught it, but oh, my goodness. There were several heart attacks and everything else in the church. If you're not doing what you were designed and created to do, you can still fly like a frisbee if you're an offering plate. But oh, you're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to be satisfied. You're not going to be happy and joyful. And you're going to know that you're missing out. That affects everything. That affects the wife and kids. It affects your work. It affects those around you. Your walk is the main thing. Any final thoughts, questions? You know, that's a good Sunday morning. One point. When was the last time I preached a one-point sermon? My goodness. Oh, you guys don't want me to stop, do you? You want me to keep going? Oh, please, stop. Next week, you have this. Look through that. How do we become a follower of Jesus? How do we become a follower of Jesus? So we know right now what's our purpose in life. It's to walk with God. That was why we were created. So how do we start that? How do we start this relationship with Jesus? How do we walk? That's what we're going to discuss next week. Now, one final thing. Everyone take this card out. Prayer card, reservation card, connection card. You see that? Everyone take it out. The last class that our seminary students take is called Integration to Ministry. It's their last semester. They're about to graduate, and I get to teach that class. We bring them all in, and about a week before that class, I send an email out. And the email says, what are the things you didn't learn in seminary? What are the things that you're worried about going into the real world? Is there anything that you feel like you're missing from your seminary education? By the way, based on those on their responses, that's generally what we do. I mean, I got some things I'm going to teach. But generally it is, oh, I feel like I need more help on visioneering or more help on conflict or more help on whatever. And that's what we discussed during this class. It's a pretty neat class. This is what I want you to do with this. Somewhere on the prayer side, if you have a prayer, write it down. But if you have some space, what are the things that you would like to have the answers to in your Christian walk? Power over sin? How do I go through conflict? How does the Spirit work in my life? I want you to write that down. This is your chance to kind of help me develop the new sermon series over the next little while. Isn't that neat? You guys actually have a part in what we're going to preach on. What are the issues that I have questions about, never got my answers? I would really like to know what this is all about. Okay? So take a moment and fill that out and then turn it in. Have we taken the offering already? Leave it on your seats. Pass it to the left and leave it on the seats. Okay? Any questions on that? Awesome. Last thing. There are people here where at some time, I'm assuming that most of us have come to the point where at some time the Spirit talked to us. We understood that we are here for a purpose, and that's to walk with God. And we accepted Jesus as our Savior. We invited God into our hearts, and now we try to live that life each and every day. For you, this sermon's pretty neat, and it kind of gives you some parameters of your life with God. Why we're here and so forth. But the other person that's here, maybe there's someone who has never taken that step and accepted God as their Savior. They've never understood, I never heard that my purpose was to be with my Creator and to walk with Him. If that's you, then a lot of the stuff that we're talking about may not make a lot of sense to you. But I'm telling you, just think for a moment. Why would the Creator, why would God have put you on this earth except to connect with Him? And if that's you, the good news is you can start that relationship, that walk with God today. Some of the things that we do in church are kind of confusing and all this. One of those is at the end of the service, we sing a song, and Tim's getting ready to sing one, and we have what's called an invitation. If you've never given your life to God, understand you were created to do that. Until you give your life to Him, you are going to be kind of off kilter. You're really not going to know what you're supposed to do. So during this invitation, that's just a fancy word for me standing up here, come on up and let me talk to you about how you can start this walk with God now. Do you understand what Christianity is all about? This is a great religion that we have. Our God is not asking us to sacrifice ourselves and take out a bunch of people that don't believe like we do anyway. No, we're kind of the flip side. Our God loves us so much we were created to walk with Him. If you've never done that, if you've never really given your life over to God in that way, now's the time. So during the invitation, I want you to come forward. I'll talk to you some more about that. Don't delay. If you have those questions that are in your heart right now, the Spirit's talking to you. Quit messing around and come on up and get saved. It's a great day to get saved. The day before Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving. Christians, pray. Father, thank you so much for all that you've given us. I ask that you would lead us in this time of invitation and decision. And Lord, if there is someone here that has never accepted you as Savior, never given their lives fully and totally over to you, Lord, I ask that today would be that day. We leave these things in your hands, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.